He did it all because he loves you. If he were to see him today, he'd smile at you and say, "Sweetheart, you don't owe me a thing. I gave it to you. It's without price."
Jesus paid the ultimate price for you to be healed of every sickness, disease, weakness, and pain. On today's Believer's Voice of Victory, Kenneth Copeland and Rick Renner describe what Jesus endured that will leave you knowing without a doubt, by his stripes we are healed.
Hello, everybody. I'm Kenneth Copeland. This is Wednesday's edition of the Believer's Voice of Victory broadcast. Let's have a word of prayer. We'll get right into today's Bible lesson. Father, thank you, sir. We praise you and worship you today. Your involvement in our lives is just enormous in our thinking. What you did and what you have done to regain human beings back into their likeness of you is just beyond our natural ability to conceive it. But thank God it's been revealed to us by your Spirit. And we give you thanksgiving for your love and for your grace. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Brother Rick, the word of the Lord that came about God revealing what he's revealing here, things that we hadn't even heard of before, where God led you to go back in and go in and dig deep into what happened, starting with the Garden of Gethsemane, what took place, details that he's unraveling. And in yesterday's broadcast, the Holy Spirit came on us, and the Word of the Lord came and said he's preparing the message for the largest gathering of people into the kingdom of God in the history of ever. It's here. And this is the message of the cross. And he's taken insight and revelation of that message and taken it to a new place where it'll stir this whole earth. Hallelujah. Amen. Glory.
Amen.
Give me just a moment here. This is Wednesday before Good Friday. Mm-hmm. Now, here's another thing that tradition has just, I don't know whether they didn't notice or didn't bother, but it bothered me. And
it's always bothered me.
It bothered me 40-some-odd years ago. Well, actually, I've been in this ministry 46 years, and it bothered me the first year. So I began to seek God for it, and the Lord taught me about, in the 12th chapter of Matthew, Jesus said, now this Jesus is speaking here in the 40th verse, "For as Jonas was 3 days and 3 nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth." And if it started Friday, there ain't no way.
It didn't work.
No, the math don't work. And people have, you know, kind of excused and danced around it and all of that, and that's fine. But I did like you did on these last days. Man, I sought God over this thing. I looked, like Brother Hagin said, I looked under every leaf. I turned up every rock. I was searching. And it was there all the time. In the Gospel of John, the 19th chapter, the 31st verse, "The Jews, therefore, because it was the preparation that the body should not remain upon the cross on the Sabbath day, for that Sabbath day was a high day." It was a high Sabbath. It didn't begin at evening on Friday. It began at evening on Wednesday. There's your math problem solved.
And that solves the whole question.
Solve the whole thing. Today is Good Wednesday. This is when it started.
So we should start a new tradition.
We should. Now, I mean, you know, go hammering people over that. That's not love. That's not the way to do that. But it's good for you and I to know this because we can celebrate it today. As we go toward Resurrection Day, we can study these things and we can walk this out and study it and look at it and praise God and open our hearts and praise Him and thank Him and take all of these things that Rick's been teaching for the last 2 weeks here, last week and this week, go back and download these broadcasts and study it and study it and study it and study it. And with that in your heart, in your mind, that it started on Wednesday, then you can follow the flow.
Mm-hmm.
This important information.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, back to you.
You know, I was just thinking about Paul, because when Paul wrote to the Galatians, he said in chapter 3, he said to the Galatians, "Who has bewitched you?" He said, "Don't you remember that through my preaching, Jesus Christ was crucified in front of you?" I think Paul's preaching about the cross and all the events about the cross was so graphic that the Galatians really felt like they had seen the crucifixion. And, you know, Brother Copeland, I know we live in a world where women love jewelry. And they wear crosses in their ears, and they wear crosses around their necks, and they wear crosses with diamonds. And we have crosses on the top of steeples, and there's nothing wrong with any of that. But in a certain way, it has deluded us.
It has.
About the cross. The cross was not beautiful.
No, no.
It was a horrific event.
This is like wearing a little electric chair around your neck.
That's exactly.
Or like wearing a hangman's noose.
Nobody would do that.
Well, yeah, some of them would, but not in the context that we'd wear that cross. And I don't misunderstand me. I understand what's behind it. And the cross is dear to me.
Of course, it's dear to me.
But it's because of a lack of understanding of it. And we're coming to a place where those things are not, they're not bad, and they're sweet and all that, but we've gone past sweetness. We've gone into reality, and it's time to see this cross and what it really is. I've heard this. I heard Brother Hagin talk about it, and I heard one man say, you know, we sang that old rugged cross and we cling to it. And he said, it just got more rugged and more rugged and more rugged. Well, it really does. Because we're not supposed to be clinging to that.
Mm-hmm.
You come to the cross, but you don't stay there. I mean, thank God for the cross of Jesus.
Oh, yeah.
And thank God for this study of it. Thank God for people that are once again writing books about the cross and writing it in real, strong terms. Because this is the thing that this is the thing to just push Satan in his place. But we don't cling to it. We cling to its results.
We cling to the resurrection.
Yes, we do. We go from that cross, we go from that to the upper room, and we blast out of that. We go to the empty tomb, and we go to that upper room, and we come blasting out of that upper room, brother. Thank God for the cross.
That's where the price was paid.
That's where the price was paid. And we need this information. We need time to deeply experience and praise our Lord Jesus Christ for what He did. Now, I want to correct something right here.
Okay.
You don't owe Him anything. No. He did it all because He loves you. If He were to see Him today, He'd smile at you and say, "Sweetheart, you don't owe me a thing. I gave it to you. It's without price."
That's awesome.
You can really get under condemnation, not realizing it because it doesn't seem like you're doing anything that's out of line, but it's spiritually got a kink in it. Mm-hmm. And where you say, "Oh, you know, I owe Him my life. I owe Him so." That's not what He's after. He's not after that. What He's after is your love. He's after, "Let this mind be in you, which was in Christ Jesus." Mm-hmm. Amen. He did it to exalt you up to His level. He did it to bring you up. He did it to strengthen you and get you born again. That old man you're talking about, the one that owed all that, he dead and gone. Glory to God. Amen. Mm. Rick, I'm so excited about this. I better shut up. I get to preaching, man, and I kind of have a tendency to get in the way.
Well, that's okay. This is your program.
No, not today it isn't, brother.
Well, I want to start in Matthew chapter 27, where we find out what happened next. Jesus was returned to Pilate. Poor Pilate, he kept trying to get rid of Jesus, and Jesus just kept being returned to him. And it says in verse 24, when Pilate saw that he could prevail nothing, but rather that a tumult was made, he took water and washed his hands before the multitude, saying, I am innocent of the blood of this just man. You see to it. Then answered all the people and said, His blood be upon us and our children. Mm. Verse 26.
Oh, dear God.
Then released he Barabbas unto them. And this is what I'd like to deal with today, Brother Copeland. And when he had scourged Jesus, he delivered him to be crucified. I want to talk about what it means to be scourged, because it's by his stripes that we are healed. And really, when you understand how horrific was a Roman scourging, it's a little bit difficult to even listen to. But I want to read what I've written, because I don't think that I can improve on what I've written, and every word has been carefully chosen. The word scourged describes one of the most horrific events in the ancient world because of the terrible images that immediately come to mind. Let me tell you a little bit about the process of scourging. When a decision was made to scourge an individual, the victim was first stripped completely naked so that his entire flesh would be open to the beating action of the torturer's whip. Well, that already was an act of shame, because the Jews believed that a naked body was a shameful thing.
Mm-hmm.
So once again, we see Jesus taking our shame. Then the victim was bound to a 2-foot-high scourging post. He was bound to it. His arms were wrapped around it with a chain. His hands were tied to a metal ring, and his wrists were securely shackled to keep his body from moving. He couldn't move once the scourging began. When in this locked position, the victim couldn't wiggle, couldn't move, couldn't dodge the lashes that were being laid across his back. Romans were professionals at scourging. They took special delight in the fact that they were the best at punishing a victim with this brutal act. And once the victim was harnessed to the posts and stretched over it, the Roman soldiers began to put him through unimaginable torture. One writer has noted that the mere anticipation of the whipping caused the victim's body to grow rigid, the muscles to knot in his stomach, the color to drain from his cheeks, his lips to draw tight against his teeth as he waited for the first sadistic blow that would begin tearing his body apart.
Now this thing, was that post horizontal? And they put him on here like this?
It was like a column, and they would tie you over the top of it and fix you so that you couldn't move, so that your back was completely exposed.
Over the top of that post?
Right over the top. So you were laying kind of like this over the top of that post.
So they had your back would be...
Your back and your sides.
Right over the top of that post like that, and they had you pulled down on both sides.
That's correct.
So they're whipping all of the legs. They got the whole body from the head to the feet.
And there were two men whipping. There were two of them.
Oh, dear Lord.
The scourge consisted of a short wooden handle with several 18 to 24 inch straps of leather, and the end of the leather were pieces of metal, wire, glass, and jagged fragments of bone. This was considered to be one of the most feared and deadly weapons of the Roman world. It was so ghastly that the mere threat of a scourge, all you had to do was hold it in front of a crowd, could cause a crowd to be silent, or the most hardened criminal to recoil just at the prospect of being scourged. Most often, two torturers were utilized to carry out the punishment, simultaneously lashing the victim from both sides. And as these dual whips struck the victim, The leather straps with their sharp, jagged objects descended and extended over the entire back. Each piece of metal, wire, bone, or glass cut deeply through the victim's skin into the flesh, shredding his muscles and sinews. This is why the art that we have of Jesus is so incorrect. Mm-hmm. Jesus was completely shredded. Every time the whip pounded across the victim, those straps of leather curled around his torso, biting painfully and deeply into the skin of his abdomen and upper chest. As each stroke lacerated the sufferer, he tried to thrash about but was unable to move because his wrists were held so tightly to the metal ring above his head. Helpless to escape the whip, he would scream for mercy that this anguish might come to an end. And every time the torturer stuck a victim, the straps of leather attached at the wooden handle would cause multiple lashes as the sharp objects at the end of each strap sank into the flesh, then raked across the victim's body. The torturer would jerk back, pulling hard, in order to tear whole pieces of human flesh from the body. The victim's back, buttocks, back of legs, stomach, upper chest, and face would soon be completely disfigured by the slashing blows of the whip, and historical records describe a victim's back as being so mutilated after a Roman scourging that his spine would actually be exposed. Others record how the bowels of a victim would spill out through the open wounds created by the whip, and the early church historian Eusebius wrote, "The veins were laid bare, and the very muscles, sinews, and bowels of the victim were open to exposure."
Oh, dear Jesus.
Brother Copeland, that is just amazing. So when the Bible says that he gave him to be scourged, if somebody doesn't teach you what that means, you don't understand what that means, that Jesus was scourged. The Roman torturer would so aggressively strike his victim that he wouldn't even take the time to untangle the bloody, flesh-filled straps as he lashed across the victim's mangled body over and over again. And if the scourging wasn't stopped, the slicing of the whip would eventually flay the flesh completely off the victim's body. With so many blood vessels sliced open by the whip, the victim would begin to experience a profuse loss of blood and bodily fluids. The heart would pump harder and harder, struggling to get blood to the parts of the body that were bleeding profusely, but it was like pumping water through an open hydrant. There was nothing to stop the blood from pouring through the victim's open wounds, and the loss of blood caused the victim's blood pressure to drop drastically, and because of the massive loss of bodily fluid, he would experience excruciating thirst, often fainting from the pain, and eventually going into shock. And frequently, the victim's heartbeat would become so irregular that he would die of cardiac arrest.
Now,
that was a scourging.
Rick, would that cause seizures?
Oh, cardiac arrest, irregular heartbeat, your whole body chemistry out of whack because you're bleeding so profusely.
If you're suffering from seizures, I want you to hear this. Can you hear what I'm doing? That kind of brain torture, that kind of horrible thing, the seizures that Jesus' body went through are to deliver you from seizures. Excuse me, and when you go to bed tonight, don't you go to bed being afraid you're going to have a seizure during the night. No, sir, no, ma'am. You sit right on the edge of that bed and you say, "Jesus bore this for me, and I have no fear of you. He loved me, and his perfect love casts out the fear of this. I refuse seizures again hereafter forever. Never again, never again, Satan, you take your hands off my body." Total deliverance from seizures. Or anything else.
Anything else.
But that just rose up in me for somebody that goes to bed at night being afraid you're going to have a seizure during the night.
You know, it convicts
me. That your child has seizures and you have fear for that child. Stop that fear. You stop it right now and lay hold on what Jesus has done for you and done for that child.
Jesus paid the price for that.
Yes, He did. Oh, dear Lord Jesus.
It convicts me. It convicts me that whenever I have just a toleration for sickness, Jesus paid the price, so I did not have to tolerate any form of sickness whatsoever.
Oh, my. Or fear of it.
Or fear of it.
That's
fear of it can be as bad as it.
Well, actually, fear of it borders on blasphemy. Think about it. Because Jesus said, fear not. And perfected love casteth out fear. He that fears not perfected in love. You need to get in here and get perfected. Love did this. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. Amen. Oh, Rick, we're out of time. Brother Rick and I'll be back in just a moment.
My home life, which had all the appearance of being a fairly typical happy home, was very empty. And as a kid, just 11 years old, I was introduced to drugs and smoking marijuana, and it started me down a path and on a road that ended up quite destructive for me. My dad went through dark times himself, and he relied more and more on drinking. He had a good job, he made good money, but he was a very unhappy man. And when I was 13 years old, he actually took his own life, which set me further on the course that I was already on. My dad had told me when I was just maybe 12, he said, don't start with pot and marijuana. He said, it'll lead to other things. He said, you'll be at a party and with friends, and somebody will come with some heroin, and you'll take it, and it'll ruin your life. Years passed, and I was at that party. When I woke up in the morning, I had two thoughts immediately. And the first one was, I want to do that again right now. And the second one was the voice of my dad warning me about it. And it really shook me. And so I made a decision that right then that I was going to back off from this whole pursuit of drugs and the way I'd been going, and I was going to pursue Jesus. Now that I realized Jesus Christ was my answer, the thing I'd really been looking for, not really the religious experiences that maybe I'd had, now it was really about the relationship. God not only loved me, but He had changed me so thoroughly that He saw me in the light of what Jesus had done, not in the light of what I had or had not done.
Jesus willingly endured savage beatings, unimaginable disrespect, and crushing humiliation for those He loved and those who hated Him. Christ's amazing love for us inspired Him to give everything He had to pay a debt He never created. Pastor and Bible teacher Rick Renner unpacks the last hours of the life of Jesus in the devotional Paid in Full. Rick's extensive research of the Scriptures and translations of the Greek and Hebrew texts bring Jesus' last hours before His crucifixion to life, combining revealing personal stories with the biblical account of Jesus' death and resurrection. This devotional illustrates the fact that Christ's suffering paid the price, and His resurrection gives you the victory to live an abundant and victorious life. Jesus handled the hard part to leave an example for us to follow. Paid in Full is a devotional that provides the evidence that you are free and your debt has been paid in full.
Gain insight into the love Jesus has for you. Order Rick Renner's new book, Paid in Full, for only $14.99. Go to kcm.org/TV special, call our toll-free number 1-800-600-7395, or write to us today. The cross was God's plan to redeem man from Satan's authority. Jesus paid the full price for your redemption. What happened from the cross to the throne changed everything. For an additional 10% off, order your copy online.
Listen to me very, very carefully. That cross, that whipping post, go back to the Garden of Gethsemane, leading all up to this, that cross is the place of exchange. He exchanged. He bore our sins to give us His righteousness. He bore our sickness and our disease. He was whipped and scourged for it to give us divine healing and health. You see it? He was cast out of the presence of God so that we could come boldly to the throne of grace. If you've never accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, now listen to me. He did everything. He did everything it takes. There's nothing you have to do except pray the prayer. He could not pray your or my prayer. Amen. So pray this right out of your heart. Oh God in heaven, I believe with all my heart that Jesus paid the price for me and was raised from the dead. Oh, Lord Jesus, come into my heart. I repent of sin. I renounce it. I renounce the devil and everything he stands for. Oh, thank you, Lord. Come into my heart. Live in me. You take my life, and I take yours. I receive it. Fill me, sir, with your precious Holy Spirit. And I thank you and I receive it. I receive my supernatural prayer language, my supernatural praise language, just like on the day of Pentecost, as those folks did. I believe it. I receive it. In Jesus' name, amen. If you prayed that with Brother Rick and me, let me know. I want to send you this little book. He did it all for you. Isn't that good? Mm. He did it all for me, man. Amen. He did it all for you. And this little book will help you get started reading your Bible. You don't need to be struggling with this book. This is the glorious law of liberty. Amen. So, God bless you. And I said, let us hear from you. We'll see you on tomorrow's broadcast. Until then, this is Kenneth and Rick reminding you again that Jesus is Lord.
Learn more about beginning your new life in Christ Jesus. Request your free salvation package today at kcm.org. Jesus did it all for you. It's time to receive His love and live the abundant life God provided for you. For additional teaching and free information on salvation, go to kcm.org. Come to a Kenneth Copeland Ministries event. Living Victory Orlando Faith Encounter, Championsgate, Florida, April 18th through 19th with Kenneth Copeland and Dr. Stephen and Kelly Swisher. Living Victory Las Vegas Faith Encounter, Henderson, Nevada, May 30th through 31st with Kenneth Copeland and Dr. Stephen and Kelly Swisher. The 2014 Peru Victory Campaign. Kenneth Copeland will be in Lima, Peru, June 6th through the 7th at the Eduardo Dibos Coliseum.